Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. We are No Ship Network. I am your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
I'm Paul.
If you want to be a part of the conversation, you can reach us at our website at noship.net and click on our contact page, and it will direct you to all the various means that you can contact us, such as our Twitter page, our Facebook page, and our Gmail account. Just keep in mind that we are covering Season 1 retroactively, so we may not be as timely with the feedback as we had been with Season 2. Also, on that note, we are trying not to spoil anything after the episode we're covering. So any comments we have regarding the rest of Season 1 or Season 2, we're quarantining at the end of this podcast, and it will be separated with music. Also, if you like what you hear and you want to support us, the best way is to rate and or review us on iTunes. That actually gets us more traffic if you do that. And also, you can share us on your Facebook page or your Twitter page. Okay. Thank you for joining us today. We are discussing Vikings Season 1, Episode 3, which is called Dispossessed. And this is also was directed by Johan Rank and written by Michael Hurst. So any thoughts on this episode before we start into the recap?
What show are we doing again?
Just another fantastic episode. You know, by this episode, I was completely waiting for it to come out every week. It was like, okay, it's Sunday night. I need to make sure I'm ready. Or Thursday night, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's like, I couldn't wait.
I'm starting to notice the names of the episodes are always double meanings now. I don't know if they were like that in Season 2, but I know they're like that in this one. Because Dispossessed is could be a reference to Athelstan being dispossessed. It could be a reference to Ragnar and all of his Vikings that went on the raid being dispossessed of all their loot.
Yep.
You know, so in even Wrath of the Northmen from, you know, the second episode, that could be the Northmen who came off of the boat, the raft of the Northmen. Sorry, I've been saving that one for a minute. Or it could be Earl Haraldson, you know, getting pissed at the, what do you call it, the blacksmith.
Right.
You know, and that's his wrath. And, you know, so it's kind of cool how they're doing these double entendres with the names of the episodes.
So the same guy was the director of the first three.
Yes. And I think they're, I think Johan Rank, Ken Grody, and Kieran Donnelly are, I think that those are the only three directors this season. And they each get three episodes and they're in a row.
Nice.
Yeah. I like how they do that. So episode opens with a longboat out on the open water. The Vikings are making their way back to their homeland, and they have slaves in tow. Back in Kattegat, Svein pays Ragnar's house a visit. He addresses Bjorn first.
Of course he addresses him first. Pervert.
Lagertha asks Svein, what does he want? Svein wants to know where Ragnar is, and Lagertha says he went fishing and does not know when he will be back. Svein wants to take someone as assurance. Assurance that Ragnar is truly not out fishing. Lagertha guards Bjorn protectively, so Svein takes another woman's son.
I was thinking that they could do a little spin-off show. I mean, I guess it's too late now, but it could be like an Odd Couple type thing if Svein and Canute were roommates.
That's right.
You know, and they have their days at work, and he comes home, and he's just like, I don't know, Canute. I love Ragnar Lothbrok. I don't want to hurt him, but the Earl makes me do such bad things. And you keep, Canute, you keep stealing all the covers. Stop. It gets cold in here.
You're bad. It's just, it would be hilarious, dude. What would you call it, though?
You're so Svein.
Oh, no.
What kind of cream cheese do you want on your bagel, Canute?
Get out of bed. You're so lazy.
You're so lazy. That's awesome.
Why do you touch my butt in front of the other? It's embarrassing.
Now,
don't do that.
Keep it private, please. behind the closed doors.
Did he took one of their servants' kids or just somebody that was working with him?
I don't know. That's never really made clear who that lady was. It seems like she was just part of their little group.
I don't live here.
Yeah.
Why don't take my son?
She might be just a villager that we, you know.
Well, damn.
Like the people on Lost in the background that you never knew who they were.
Yeah, that's true.
But I don't extras.
Know. Huh.
So she, I think she's just some villager, some local.
Poor
Just
chick.
she's just another Lagertha, probably. We just don't know her. And her son was taken instead of Bjorn because Fain's scared of Lagertha.
Understandably so.
So meanwhile, back on the boat, Ragnar tells Rollo, "We did it, brother." Rollo says, "Let's hope that the Earl sees it that way." Ragnar introduces himself to Athelstan at this point. He asks Athelstan what that land was called, and Athelstan talks of the portents, and he thinks that it is the reason why he is there on the boat. And Ragnar says, "No, he's there because he spared Athelstan's life." And Athelstan asks why, and Ragnar says he does not know why.
Yet. He's not quite sure yet, but he kind of like, I guess this remains to be seen, but I'm sure you're going to be important for some reason.
The Vikings arrive to shore. Athelstan looks at the land searchingly. He looks at his fellow monks who are frightened. The monk that is at his side is dead. Athelstan alerts Ragnar to this, and the monk is thrown overboard.
Nonchalantly, just kind of like bloop.
They're like, yep, he's right. He's
Bloop.
dead. You're done.
Athelstan prays for the monk's soul. Floki cheers, I think mostly because of the homecoming, but it might also be for the monk's death as well. I'm not
Yeah,
really.
I'm
I think it's
thinking.
because he's proud that his boat made it there and back.
And the monk's death too. I think it's a combo because he doesn't like other religions, and
True.
he's just a little pleased that they're suffering.
Well, it's probably a vindication to him that his gods, plural, are better than Athelstan's god, singular.
Yeah, because it looks like the only guy they lost, Ragnar killed. That's
Yeah.
pretty successful raid.
Yeah.
No one
Friendly
got killed.
fire,
That
friendly
guy's poor
fire.
family's like, well, where is.
So and so, yeah.
Yeah.
He was a
No.
casualty of war.
But you guys said you didn't have to swing on anybody.
Well, interesting story.
Kattegat greets the Vikings. Athelstan is handled roughly. Eric tells his woman of all the riches they have brought back, and Ragnar is greeted by another man who says he knows Ragnar went west and was successful. The crowd cheers at the man's words. Ragnar then confronts Canute. Canute tells him that the Earl summons him.
This is an important scene because there's one of the guys comes up to Ragnar and he says, "Never let it be said again that people cannot go west. You have proven that to be false," or something to that effect. And everybody kind of cheers.
Yeah, the whole damn crowd.
So it's important that you, as the viewer, understand that everybody's kind of, celebratory of Ragnar's accomplishment.
Which ties the Earl's hands up a bit. He can't just punish him because everybody's like happy as fuck.
And Ragnar knows this. And it's just a little bit more of his, leadership skills poking out, and there
It
it's on
means
the way.
prosperity for the village.
Exactly.
So Ragnar displays his booty to the Earl and Siggy.
Pull your pants up. Jeez.
Ragnar says, "I told you so," basically.
Biatch.
The Earl asks, "How could he have discovered this land when all others had failed?" Ragnar says, "They were fortunate." Basically, that Thor was on their side. The Earl wants all the booty and uses Ragnar's words against him. The Earl allows each Viking to take one piece of treasure from the hoard. Ragnar chooses Athelstan after fooling around a little.
That was important too, because I think he's on the sly making fun of Haraldson,
Yeah,
because
he's
he's just like,
mocking the king in a way.
yeah, he's kind of being like a court jester, and he's taking the thunder away from him, and he's basically saying, like, you haven't defeated us. You're just being a petulant little baby. You know what I mean? We're still the men who went and did this. You're just the jackass who sat on the throne and said it couldn't be done.
Exactly.
So Siggy finds it hilarious that Ragnar would want the priest, and everyone else laughs with her like sycophants, which is
And
kind
Siggy's wrong again.
of. It's like, oh, you guys read books. You're stupid.
Yeah.
So Ragnar leaves angrily, as does Rollo, except Rollo is mad at Ragnar for letting the Earl take advantage of them. Ragnar says, "Just wait. It is only the beginning. Hold your horses, Rollo."
Well, he handles him like roughly. He slams him up against that
That's
wall by
because
the
he took,
neck.
because he stole something else on top of the piece that he was granted. And he's pissed about that because that would just bring
Yeah, he
the
opens the
Earl's
door.
ire upon them. And then Ragnar leaves with Athelstan in tow, literally. He's got him on a rope
I
around his
know.
neck. Siggy plays with her new riches. She blows confidence up the Earl's arse, and they were about to have sex, and what happened? Did he couldn't
He's
do it?
impotent. He can't get it up. That's what I'm getting out of this scene. He could not get it up because they had the scene where, like, she kind of stopped and his hands went a little bit lax, and he knew that it wasn't going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And then she just kind of held him close and everything. And I think this is a metaphor for his growing impotence in the face of Ragnar Lothbrok. Mm-hmm. This is letting us know that, like, he's losing power.
Yeah, losing control in every aspect.
That's, I think that's exactly what it is. That's good. I like that.
And this is another point of her being counterintuitive to what's going on, because all this smoke she's blowing up, she's saying, you have all the power, you have all the authority, when the exact opposite is the truth.
Well, I think she's just as terrified of losing her position also.
Yeah, you're right. She's clinging on to that sinking ship, you know. But she's definitely – but I definitely think that there's – that, like, bears out my thesis from last episode where I'm saying everything that she says as kind of a declarative statement to her husband is usually way off base.
So now Ragnar arrives to his home. He is greeted warmly by his family. Lagertha wants to know where is the treasure he promised. He tells her that the Earl took it, and he introduces family now to Athelstan. Bjorn wants to know what is wrong with Athelstan's head.
Which is kind of funny because he's kind of got a goofy haircut too. So you think they would be like
buddies.
Yeah.
A lot of people talk shit about Bjorn's hair. I like it.
It's just different.
Like, he has, you know, a lot of people have that same haircut that Bjorn has in the village of Kattegat. So it's, but yeah, you'd think there would be some sort of instant kinship between the two, because it's like, hey, we have stupid haircuts.
Or like maybe more people in town are like, I could just shave this part.
Yeah.
I thought it was funny when Ragnar introduces Athelstan to the kids, like the look on Bjorn's face is actually pretty hilarious. That's when he was like, what's wrong with his head? Gita asks, which god does he like best since he's a priest? And Athelstan that says there is only one god. And then Ragnar leaves Athelstan with the children so he and Lagertha could be alone. And the kids are like picking at him and like, Bjorn like, let's look at his feet.
Or no, he said, look at his feet. Yeah. Like, I don't know, because he probably had weird sandals on or something. Mm-hmm. They haven't seen him before.
So later, I'm not sure if it's much later, but it seems like it, they are still fucking. And they invite Athelstan to join them. Athelstan says he's a monk and he cannot touch a woman because of his vow of celibacy. Ragnar and Lagertha tempt him some more, but when they see he is serious, they leave him.
This is a direct parallel to the last episode where Earl and his wife tested their henchmen and he took the bait and he failed the trustworthiness test. Athelstan has passed his trustworthiness test and he's actually called a responsible person later on in the episode by Ragnar. So it's a cool way of showing you how people are loyal to Ragnar has surrounded himself, with the exception possibly of Rollo at this point, with people who are fulfilling their vows and keeping them. You know what I mean? They're trustworthy people who are going to do what they say and be responsible, whereas the Earl is kind of like in this pit of treachery where everybody around him is just grabbing for the straws of power.
So next we have Athelstan. He's washing himself at the shore. His hair has new growth, and he's despairing over this and his current circumstance. Back in the house, he secretly tries to cut his hair. He draws blood in the attempt. He's interrupted by Bjorn's laughter and discovers Lagertha and the children watching him.
Yeah, he's got that. Just he looks like he's ashamed of what he's doing a little bit, you know, just on the fact that the kids are laughing and he's like, ugh.
It's almost like he was caught masturbating.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of. Well, like the way everybody reacts, because even Lagertha looks at him like, ugh.
Well, it's just – it's so important to him that he does that, you know, that he keeps his in faith. Line with his faith. At, you know, so he's trying to do this thing and like, it's a private moment, you know, so it is kind of like akin to being caught masturbating, you know, and everyone's laughing at him.
Yeah.
And
especially children. I mean, it's even worse when kids are laughing at you. It is.
The Earl, Svein, and the hostage kid are out in the wilderness.
Poor kid.
The Earl has Svein and the kid digging. The Earl tells the kid that he has chosen him because he is broad and strong. The treasure was thrown into the freshly dug pit. The treasure is meant for the Earl when he arrives to Valhalla, and the Horde needs apparently the Horde needs a guardian, and this is what the boy was chosen for.
So if this is true, then all over, like, Norway, there's just, like, little buried treasure everywhere.
That's what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
With the bones of 13-year-old boys. Like, why did this kid have to have his shirt off?
Exactly.
Is this a Spain thing?
Yes. You know? He's such a creepy little raunchy bastard.
That's such a great day.
Even has a creepy name.
Yeah, Svein.
And he's left to fill in the hole, too, all by himself.
And you just, this scene is just cementing how much of a shitty character that the Earl is. Because he
Yes.
tells the kid, he's like, you've seen enough of this life, boy. And it's like, he's 13 years old.
And you tell me that kid couldn't have outran those two?
He probably
I
could
mean,
have.
Svein and an old man.
Yeah.
I think my fat ass could have outran them. Well, at least for 30 or 40 yards.
Yeah, because it was just them two out there, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was just them. That little kid, the second he said, you're here for, you've seen enough of this life, you know? They didn't have any, they didn't hold him or nothing. The kid was just slow and should have just been like, is he gonna, are you gonna kill
Wait a
me?
minute.
Like, he's a kid.
Yeah, the second I told him to take his shirt off, he should have ran.
He might have taken his own shirt off. His
No.
strenuous work.
Well, Svein was digging with him, and he was fully clothed.
Yeah.
I
I'm
don't
just saying,
know.
it's just
Yeah,
a.
it's just coincidental that it makes it feel. It felt like a pedo scene. It really
Yeah.
did.
Who directed this again? No, I'm just kidding.
Johan Rank.
I mean, he got the point across. It's just creepy, like you said. It made both of those characters just seem disgusting, and really makes you not. There's no love for either of them at all. You know, like, oh, you know, for a while there, it's like, well, the Earl is a leader. He's got to make the hard decisions a little bit. I'm not saying anything massive, but now
Yeah.
you're just like the last nail in the coffin of fucked up.
Yeah, I see what you're saying. You always kind of give a little bit of leeway to leadership because you understand that they have to make hard decisions. And but like when you cross that line, you just
Nah,
can't come back.
the sexcapade where they killed the guy, and now this, it's like, all right, you have no boundaries of what evil you'll do. Because they progressively got worse. Remember, he set that guy up, told him he wasn't going to Valhalla, and then it's gotten worse and worse and worse. So you're actually, it's smart because then you're actually scared for Ragnar and his family.
I can't comment on that until later episodes. Maybe I can say something in the spoiler section, but
Yeah.
Ragnar is getting Athelstan drunk.
I like this scene.
He questions Athelstan about England.
Genius.
Ragnar learns there are four kingdoms and four kings, and that the Vikings had landed in the kingdom of Northumbria, and that their king is King Ella. Ragnar wants to know why were they not protected by their king. He also wants to know why does their god need silver and gold. He must be a greedy god. Athelstan says that his god is not greedy, and that Christians give away their riches to the monasteries in order to save their souls. Ragnar asks, "What is a soul?" And then he asks Athelstan to teach him his language.
But when he talks about the gods wanting, the riches and stuff like that, and before Athelstan has his comeback, and he says, "Oh, your god must be like Loki, greedy and tricky and stuff like that." And he's just like, "No, my god's not greedy. It's just people are." But it was a cool little mini commentary on the differences between the two religions. I mean, it's still rudimentary. They get more into it later, but.
Plus, it shows Ragnar's smart because he's getting this guy liquored up to loosen the tongue.
Oh yeah, one of them can hold his liquor and the other can't.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I wish I had talked more about that last episode because when they first enter the monastery and they find all the gold and they see the crucifix, and they're like, their god's dead. What use is he? He's not alive like our gods, like Thor and
Isn't
Frey
it
and.
Eric that points it out?
I
He's
think
like, the
so.
god is dead because he points to the
He's
crucifix,
hanging on the
and then
cross.
Rollo smashes it to pieces. And
Yeah.
that's a good contrast between the two societies or cultures, whatever you want to call it, and their religions, because it's like one is of, these gods are alive and active and of action. Get out there and do something. Wasn't it you who were telling me that there's different, like,
Well,
when you
yeah.
die, if you die of, what did you say, old age or
Old age and
sickness?
sickness, you go to the realms of that's ruled by hell.
Yeah. But
Yeah,
if you die in battle, no
you
matter
go to
what you're
Valhalla.
doing, you're going to go to Valhalla.
Yeah, if you have a valiant death, yeah,
Or
and
Valiant Death, yeah.
yeah, like yeah,
Nice.
So it's like, it just shows you the
glorious.
different values of both things. But I mean, from a Norseman's perspective, seeing that for the first time, I could, I mean, I could kind of see what they're where they're coming from. Like, well, how is your God going to protect you? He's dead. You have a picture of him right there, and he's been crucified. So it's like, what is he supposed to do to keep you safe?
And also, I mean, if that's your worldview, if that's how you live your life, and so you asked a question, I think last episode, oh, well, what were the people of that were related to the guy that Ragnar killed on the boat were, wondering. They probably, I mean, it's just like, oh, he's in Valhalla, he died, You know, he died like he's supposed to, young and in
It was
battle or
probably an
whatever.
assumption.
Yeah,
Yeah, you're right.
exactly. And
Like,
it's, yeah.
so
And they're
that,
probably happy.
yeah. They're like,
So.
thanks for taking him, Ragnar. You know, he's up in Valhalla now.
So, okay. Ragnar is leading Athelstan around the village. The remaining monks were hanging. Okay, the remaining monks that were on the boat with Athelstan are now hanging in the village square. Ragnar goes before the Earl. The Earl asks how goes it with his new slave. Ragnar says he is useful. Ragnar gets to the reason why he is before the Earl and says he wants to go west again with his slave. He says Athelstan has been teaching him about this England. And Ragnar tells the Earl about the other towns that Athelstan told him about. Athelstan is disturbed. The Earl suggests that he should go himself, maybe. And Ragnar says, no, you should send me because, you know, I have more experience and I'm more expendable. The Earl sanctions the raid, but Ragnar must take Canute with him. Athelstan is filled with regret and prays for forgiveness. The Earl tells Canute to find out what Ragnar's new method of navigation is for him.
And this really strikes at the core of why Harrelson didn't want them to go west in the first place, because he knew that he had no idea how to send ships west, because he didn't want to admit. He would rather pretend that there's no lands to the west than admit that he doesn't have a like
Exactly.
feasible navigation system to get people there and back. Once again, another sign of his impotency, I guess, for lack of a better term.
So outside, Athelstan shows some resistance to Ragnar in protest of recent events and his fellow dead monks. Ragnar cuts his neck binding and tells him to run away if he wants. Athelstan follows him instead, but what else could he do, really?
Yeah, I mean.
It was still another test. He was seeing if he was going to be not just responsible, but also reasonable. And he did. You can see the little smirk on Ragnar's face when he hears him following him. He's like, yeah, he'll be coming back to the house
He's like,
tonight.
I still got puppet strings on you. Ragnar tells Lagertha he is leaving tomorrow. She wishes him success that is mixed with disappointment because she thinks she is being left behind again. He lets out that she is going. Bjorn is pissed that he is about to be babysat by a dude with a weird haircut. But Gita does not mind. She likes the priest. Lagertha gives Athelstan an ultimatum.
Oh, yeah. Which is awesome.
She
She's a good
basically
mom.
tells him, if you hurt my kids, I'm going to blood eagle you. But she doesn't
Yeah.
use the term. She says,
No.
I'll rip your lungs out. But that's what that would be.
Yeah.
So Ragnar and Floki prepare the sunboard. Rollo watches Lagertha. Oh, nope, he's watching Canute. And then he starts to choke him. And he chokes him out and then slaps him awake.
Oh, yeah. Oof.
Rollo wants to know whose side is Canute on. Canute says he's with them and says he made a mistake for not coming with them before. He claims to fear Odin's judgment just like themselves. And Rollo says, well, I just wanted to ask.
Well, this is the tug of war you start to have again, because it's like, okay, well, he's got his brother's best interest, you know, and granted he could have done it a little nicer and maybe
Yeah.
talk to him, but you know, it's part of Rollo's charm, you know.
I think Rollo knows Canute is on the payroll.
Oh,
Well, it's no
everybody
secret now
does.
because he told him
Yeah.
straight out. So yeah,
Everybody
it's not a
knows
secret,
he's
but he's trying to let it be known. If you try any fuckery, I'm throwing you overboard.
Exactly.
I don't know if you guys noticed this, but like right after he does that, he goes, I was just asking. And then from right behind him, DJ Torsten just kind of boom, just shoulders him, you know, and he's just
Awesome.
and that's the second time you see him, because you see Torsten in the first episode when everybody's in the house.
Oh,
And
that's
he
right.
doesn't have a speaking role yet, really. He might have said, yeah, I'll go, or something like that. But he's just kind of in the background for the first half of season one.
So on the boat, everyone is in good spirits as they make their way toward England. And next, we see a grizzled Englishman near the shore.
Yeah, we get our first fast forward Vikings trip.
Now these trip takes like three, four
Seconds.
minutes. You
Yeah.
know, they're just there.
And so Ragnar and company, now they're on shore and they spy some English soldiers in the distance. They attempt communication.
I love this scene.
Rollo's angry face does not help matters. Eric is with Rollo and wants to kill the soldiers. The sheriff asks Ragnar, why are his men arguing? Ragnar tries to smooth things over. The
Well,
other Vi- Oh, what were you
oh,
gonna
so does the sheriff too, because the
say?
sheriff pulls off that Flavor Flav like chain
Yeah.
and sticks it around Rollo's neck, like, look, we're good.
Yeah, because if Ragnar tells the sheriff that Rollo does not trust him, and that's when he takes that medallion as a peace offering, and then Floki wants his own necklace
Oh,
and takes it
I
off another soldier.
know. And they really wanted Ragnar and the sheriff really wanted it to be peaceful, you know, but then It was just a funny scene because you don't. I like it the way is this the first time we see the accents changed on both of them where you can't understand kind of what's saying? They have the subtitles
Yeah, I think
underneath,
so.
so you wrestle with what's going on, and then it's just funny because they're like, well, why are they yelling? What are they saying? And it was really well put together.
And he's got to be like, if you're those English guys, they show them and they're kind of standing there like mouth breathers, like, what's going on? Because you got Rolo standing over here at 2 o'clock, and then you
And
got Eric standing over there at 11 o'clock, and Eric's bigger than Rolo. I mean, he looks like the cliched Viking, with the long blonde hair and the big bushy beard and stuff. And it's just like, they're arguing with the guy who seems like he wants to be peaceful about stuff, and it's just like, uh-oh.
And it's like Athelstan said before, they're not used to having to fight, so these are pretty lax, infantrymen anyway, so it's not like you've got the cream of the crop going against the Vikings,
True, or if they do fight, they might have been fighting against another kingdom where they
in
have
a full army.
well-defined borders, and they've got, 200 of their, other people by their side.
Yeah,
They're
they're on
just
the
not just
coastline, lax.
10 of them, on the
And
beach.
it's funny because they make them look like they're lax. Like you said, they all are freaking mouth breathers.
I also like about this because there's some people who are upset with the show not being historically accurate, which I think it's I like how they're doing it.
Oh,
And
yeah.
apparently I think with Lindisfarne when they found Athelstan, like historically they pretended to be traitors when they came on shore. But see, this is their kind of interpretation of that fact. And it's not at Lindisfarne, but here they are. They've come back again after Lindisfarne and they're like, the sheriff is asking, are you traitors? And then Ragnar is like, yes, we're traitors,
Yeah, that's it. What you said.
So it's a cool like nod to historical facts, but they're just doing their own way.
Yeah.
That's really the only way they can handle it, though. Because, I mean, you can't, it would be very difficult to make a show that just stayed completely historically factually
Oh, yeah.
accurate. Because even if you tried to do it, you'd have to pick one version of history, like one particular vein of scholarship and say, okay, we're going to just acknowledge that this is completely correct and go with that. And, then there'd be people going, well, that's not historically correct because this other guy found this archaeological dig site, and he found out that that couldn't be true, and you go back and forth. So they kind of have to do it like that. But I think they did a great job in throwing in those
Absolutely.
touches that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
This scene made me feel like I kept thinking of the Knights of Neep. Just the way they all ran up and they had the goofy helmets on, not the cool helmets, but the stupid looking ones.
Yeah.
It was very Monty Python. And so I just kept it in my head. It was like, oh,
That would have been great.
sorry.
John, like, do a little spoof of that scene with John Cleese as the
Oh, it'd
sheriff.
be amazing. It would be amazing.
Violence ensues after Floki takes the necklace.
Yeah.
One man escapes on a horse. Blood has been spilled. The end.
Man.
That was a quick recap.
Yeah, that was a really quick recap. Did we miss something?
I'm wondering, did I?
No, I think we covered everything.
Yeah. I mean,
We're just on a roll.
yeah, we covered everything.
But I just would like to say just about this episode.
Is it spoiler?
Nope, it's not
okay?
spoilery at all. But I think that the reason why, I think I've already kind of said it, but just to reiterate that Athelstan was left in charge, because like Bjorn said, he said, you're going to leave me here with a slave above me. And he's like, I don't consider him a slave. He's a responsible person. And he's partially responsible because he passed that test that the other guy, what's his name from last episode? The Earl.
Oliver.
Oliver, yeah, that guy failed,
You
so
think
he
that was
passed.
a test? I think they just wanted to get freaky because they know the dude's a priest. I felt it more on the freaky
I
side.
felt like it was a genuine thing.
Yeah,
Like
so
they
did
had
I.
smiles on their faces and stuff.
And they know the walls have holes and they're loud because even their kids know when they're doing it.
Because he would have to know the vow of celibacy before he approached
I
him to
think
be
it was just
testing him.
dirty time.
Could be, yeah. I mean, I don't do Vikings really have a strict moral code when it comes to that stuff? I mean,
I don't
I don't
know.
know. Does it vary between? One thing I do know is that when they talk to Athelstan and they try to drag it out of him why he doesn't want to do it, and he says, "I took a vow of celibacy." Is there an analogous word of celibacy in the Nordic
Well,
language?
even afterwards,
Maybe.
he's like, well, then sleep with your God, and they leave, and then they go back to business.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a idiot.
Yeah.
Because even Lagertha seemed, and she's not one to get bullied into anything for any kind of. I really think it was more of, so Been sitting in there for about an hour and a half listening to us, reading a book.
Just praying the whole time. Uh-huh.
But I think you're in... It wasn't intended to be a test, but I think it did show his character to...
Yeah, maybe it still amounted to...
The same type of...
Like the results are the same.
Mm-hmm, exactly. It just gave him more respect, maybe. But, you know, Rolo would have been like, oh!
What am I, chopped liver?
Oh, yeah. I hate my brother. You know?
Come on, bro. What the fuck?
But it was...
Yeah, you're probably right. It probably wasn't an intentional test, I guess. I guess that's the wrong way to look at it.
But he used it as the Earl would have used that test, yeah. You know what I mean? Just on the like
the same
the results.
Evaluation of character mm-hmm. resulted from the events.
Yeah, and then that he didn't run. And then, I mean, he's genuinely liking the guy right off the bat, too, though, once he's finally got him to himself at the house. Because obviously he's been teaching Ragnar how to speak English. Because when they go, Ragnar's the only one. Mm-hmm. So I just took it as they spent enough time together. Because it's hard to tell how long we have in between trips with this show because it'll jump. You know, yeah. That could have been a couple months that he was at the house with him. We don't really know.
And I'd also like to point out that the douche braid ratings, we're going to have to crank it up to 11 for Svein.
Oh,
and
for
the
sure.
Earl for whole killing new... a kid.
Hashtag yeah. Douche beard ratings.
Yeah, that's they get 11s for that.
And not just killing them, doing it in a creepy pedophile like really, way.
Yeah, the part of like, it's a 10.5. Mm-hmm. Right? It's a 10 for killing the kid. It's a 0.5
yes.
for. You know, the way it was done and what they said, and it's another 0.5 to make it a nice 11 for having the kid's shirt off.
Exactly.
That's just, like, why?
Unnecessary.
Yeah.
All right. So that's for, like, 11 is a special rating. So.
Yeah. Yeah, there's not going to be too many more 11s.
No, there might not be one at all. I mean, yeah. It's going to be – we're just going to have to see how it goes.
All right. So we're going to go into the spoiler section. Remember, turn off your device if you don't want to hear it. It's not our fault. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
do it.
Turn it off.
Listen, spoil.
Spoil it.
Music is about to play.
You're going to find out anyway.
We are in the spoiler section.
Canute, you spoil me.
Okay, so any spoilers? Funny people listen and we're like, nope, no spoilers.
No, well,
I listened for this. This is bullshit.
It's the same for me as last time, but this time, you know, you see Siggy's costuming and the way that Siggy's acting compared to the next season. She's a whole different animal than she was before because she's not humble at all.
Well, yeah, but
not
she's
even
still,
a little bit.
The way she works the Earl is also the way she works Rolo later.
Yes, but it's personality-wise, it's not the same because she knows she has power, and the way that she presents herself and the way that she's dressed, she's almost as pompous as the Earl himself. That's why she's always saying those things to inflate his ego, you know? But it's just, if you really watch, it's like almost Siggy's true nature, you know, like, okay, I've got the power and then look how she's acting. Or is it because she's with the Earl? Maybe she's a chameleon. Maybe every person she's with, she adapts to be what that person wants. You know what I mean? Like personality wise.
I think she's probably partly responsible for his power. I get, it seems like he probably came into power not legitimately.
Mm-hmm.
And she probably was behind it. And I think, you know, that's what she's trying to do with Rolo as well.
I can't really comment on the nature of her core personality because I really don't know. Because even at the end of season two, she's still kind of an enigma. She ends up on the good side of things for sure by helping Ragnar, you know.
At least
But
for her survival.
it is. But I mean, she still does it, so that says something. But I think she's whenever the Earl dies, I think that humbles her a little bit, and she realizes that she has to change course, but she's still a manipulative person and she's still trying for the same goals. But I've just, you know, and because I don't remember in season two, because I've mentioned before, you know, my little pet theory about her saying that whatever she says to the Earl is actually an observation that's exactly the opposite of what's actually happening. But it doesn't seem to be that way in season two. I think she's more on the mark with what she says to Rollo. Like she's actually trying to help him in some sort of positive way.
Yeah, especially the last episode. Wasn't it the last one she?
She says he can still be useful.
Yeah.
So.
It's just personality-wise for me right now. It's just there's a definite difference in the way that she's handling and acting. Now, granted, it's because she's also the Earl's wife, but it's just interesting to me to see, you know, her. It's almost like she de-evolves over the next season and a half,
Well, we
you
haven't really
know?
gotten to know her very well yet, because I think there's another episode later where the Earl and her talk about their sons that were killed, and you get like the human side of them. And that's what I was going to say. I wasn't going to comment on the Earl, because my experience watching season one is I didn't like the Earl at all. Even the fact I didn't have any respect for him in any way. Even the fact that he's the guy, the ruler, and you have to give him some leeway, knowing that he has to, you know, kind of
I understand what you're saying, like the point we brought up before, you have to give him a little bit of leeway to make the hard decisions.
Right, and I never gave him that. I actually didn't start giving him that leeway until even after I saw all the fucked up shit he did, is when you start to learn a little bit more about him and his background, is when you start to get the human side of him. That's when I started to, you
So
know.
the only sympathy you had for him ever was when he became humanized by the story about his
About
kids.
his
You
kid. Right.
didn't have any sympathy for him as the leader making tough decisions.
No.
See, I can't speak for you, Paul, but I only had that sympathy for the first episode, and really only up
Yeah,
until
that's
he
about right.
started cursing the guy after he cut his head off.
Well, he goes out honorably when he finally goes out. Spoiler, and you guys suck for listening if you're mad about that. But anyway,
Well,
so
hey, it's a spoiler,
I'm just
so
saying,
all
like,
bets are
yeah,
off.
I bet
Yeah,
there's
it was
curious
spoiler.
people who
We do enough to. Well, some people like spoilers, you
yeah.
know.
Well, I mean, if you're listening now, we should be able to say anything that we know about season one, two, and any kind of like
Yeah.
tidbits about season three, which we don't
I'm
know any,
probably, yeah, I'm
unfortunately.
just jumping the
There's
gun.
more actually on
But
season
yeah, we can look on the internet.
three.
Rumors about Viking season
IMDb
three.
already has something up. I haven't looked, so I was just on there checking some stuff for us, and they have season one, two, or three to click on. I didn't go to three because I fucking hate spoilers, so
Yeah.
I'm
it'll
not a
ruin
big
it
spoiler
for me.
person at all. I like to be completely surprised when I see an episode, when I read a book, when I watch a movie. I do not like to know things ahead of time.
Yeah.
I remember when Star Wars Episode 3 came out and
Oh, it's everywhere.
they had the video game that was out like
And the
a week or
book.
two, and the book and the graphic novel. So you could know exactly what happened in that movie before you even bought your
Yeah.
ticket. It was crazy. It's like people just don't care about it that
Well, some
anymore.
people
We don't.
like it, some people don't.
But I think people like us who don't like to be spoiled are in the minority
Oh, for
now.
sure.
You know, we're a dying breed.
It depends what it is, and I don't. Sometimes I'll educate myself. I don't really consider it spoiling, but you know, I don't know. It just depends
Well,
what it is.
I've read like Game of Thrones is a popular TV show right now.
Is
I've
it?
read all the books. Yeah, it's a little bit. It's getting there. But it's Well, I'm just saying that for posterity. You know, if someone's listening to this podcast 50 years from now,
Sweet.
you know, letting them know that at this point in time, you know, only A Dance with Dragons has been put out is the latest book. And I only want to know what's going to happen in the next book when I sit down to read the next book. I don't want anybody to tell me even one little thing about, oh, well, so and so does such and such. I don't even want to hear it, you know. So,
Yeah.
but hopefully people who think the same way I do just skip this part of the podcast. Because
Well,
it's
yeah, I
not
would
for
turn it
them.
off. I've turned off other podcasts because they would talk about movies and stuff, and it's like I have to turn it off. I don't want to turn it off, but I have to because it was full details on movies. So I made sure I watched certain movies before I listened to their next podcast because they're on top of it. So as long as people know and we give them plenty of warning, we're totally in the clear.
Oh, yeah.
But
If
to
you
get
listen.
back to what we were talking about, because we derailed a little, is watch Siggy and see if you see anything different whenever y'all
Okay.
watch the next few episodes. just keep an eye on it. It just struck me, you know, last night when I watched it, just the difference in just every her whole demeanor and everything, you know. I mean, because she's so calculated, you know, she does everything so, I guess I said that right, calculated. You know, she really makes sure she makes the right decisions, even when she's messing with King Horik.
Oh.
Isn't it King Horik?
Yeah, from season two.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, and she seems to be trying to position herself. And she's just humble. You know, I like Siggy better in the second season than I did the first season. And she was cheating on Rolo.
Well, she goes through some stuff because remember later on in this season, she has to watch her daughter get married to that disgusting Earl or whatever from some other
guy who wants
Earl
to bring Pitt. Pickled herring into the bedroom.
Yeah. Pitt Ham.
Yeah, Pitt Ham. And like, and then, you know, at the end of this season, her daughter dies in that disease that ravages Kattegat.
Yeah.
And then, of course, before that, the
Earl
is
dead.
I didn't
even think about that. Yeah, she loses everything.
She pretty much is humbled, and she has to build herself back up. So right now, she's playing her cards as she probably thinks is best, and then she's playing her cards as she
thinks
is best.
I totally forgot about that. That makes sense.
But it's just dependent on the situation she's in.
She's
not my favorite character by a long shot, but she's definitely an intriguing and well-written one.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she hasn't been put into the crucible.
Well, yet. I didn't really pay too much attention to her the first watch of season one. I was too busy watching frickin' Rolo and Ragnar and Lagertha. Ziggy was a second thought for me.
That's because she didn't have as big of a role.
Well, think about it. She's in every episode, and she has enough going on.
But she has minimal lines. She's not, like, a major mover of
like
the plot.
Like in the second season, yeah. So it's cool.
But it still goes to show how good the show is, because there's plenty of subtext to be read about what's going on.
Oh, yeah. I'm enjoying the second watch of this, actually.
Me too.
So it's awesome. It's like you said, even the director, everything. It's nice. It's nice watching the subtleties that I missed the first time around.
Anything else?
I didn't have anything else in the way of spoilers.
No.
Okay. In the way of anything else?
I think we covered it all.
All right. All right. Well, that's it. Next episode is Trial. Yes. And that, I think, I don't remember who's directed by. It might be Kieran Donnelly. But anyway. All right. So that's it. We will talk to you next time. I'm Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
And I'm Spain.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.